fans, it's time for the Matt Mosley Show. Presenting sponsor is Central National Bank, your leading independent bank with locations in Waco, Temple, and Austin. Also sponsored by Alan Samuels Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, Barnett Contracting, Cherry Johnson Sigmund James Law Firm, Schmaltz's Sandwich Shop, The Brazos Landing, and UBO Business Services. And now, here's Matt Mosley.
Hi, this is Matt Mosley. The Matt Mosley Show, ESPN Central Texas. From the shadows of Kyle Field, doing road work today in College Station. We got some orientation happening down here. And I don't know, Aaron, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kidding, I'm kidding.
But strong the Kyle Field view from the hotel room is very nice. There it is. And then Aaron, as I was walking back earlier, I photographed, and I meant to tweet something, but I haven't yet. It had all the All-Americans. It had the Heisman Trophy winners from Texas A&M. In fact, we haven't done a Schmaltz's trivia question in a couple of weeks. And of course, Nelson Ruse, my great friend, the Schmaltz's owner, longtime Schmaltz's owner. Can you name the Heisman Trophy winners from Texas A&M? I just walked past the statue that had both of them listed on there. If you can name those, we'll give you two free Schmaltz's sandwiches, the greatest sandwich in the country from Schmaltz's. And Aaron, I don't know if you know this one. I think you know the most recent one. You might have to think a little bit about the previous one. Okay, good, good. You got to go back a good ways.
Yeah, very famous Aggie, though.
Yeah, that's true. Very famous. And also the coaches that at A&M that were in the Hall of Fame, in the College Hall of Fame, Paul Bear Bryant being one of those, Gene Stallings being another. All these streets are named after Gene, and that was so fun. We had Gene on just recently on the occasion of his 90th birthday, where we kind of celebrated him, got to visit with him, and I heard somebody mention, hey, Gene Stallings Road. And I thought today, I said to my wife, I said, I wonder if they know that Gene's still with us. You know, they just kind of, because a lot of these people named after World War II heroes, and we've lost some of those folks, or even World War I. Aggies have great military history. But Gene is still going strong. He's out right now. He's probably out doing some hoeing. Last time we had him on, I said, what have you been doing? He said, I've been out hoeing tomatoes, been working with the tomatoes out in the garden. 90 years old, the great Gene Stallings, once recruited my dad to play here at Texas A&M. Dad chose to play at Baylor for Coach John Bridgers instead. But that did happen many years ago. And I said if my dad went to A&M, they would have he had agreed he would come speak at the quarterback club. He would come speak at the Elkhart, Texas quarterback club or the booster club. And dad decided to go to Baylor University, and that is how that all happened. And that was and meanwhile, even before my dad met my mom, turns out my mom's grandparents in about 1912 or 1916, let's say, were attending Baylor University. That was on the Hendrick side. So anyway, got a lot of ties there. But we also have some ties to A&M. I did. Both of my great uncles served in the military, and they were in the Corps here at A&M, and one of them's still around, Don Hendricks, who recently turned 90, and so on that side of the family, Aaron got some really good genes, because as you know, my grandmother in July will be 102, all right? At some point, you know, I think most women would prefer not really to have their age discussed, but when you get into the hundreds, I think it becomes okay again, you know, like you gotta go ahead and monitor those things. So anyway, that's on her side, that the Baylor ties go way back. But we've broken the streak. We got one going to A&M, and so we're doing our orientation down here. And, Aaron, it is kind of awe-inspiring, I got to say, to look across right now and see Kyle Field and to think of the times I've been here when J.J. Joe was a freshman. Oh, the late, great J.J., still shocking every time I even mention his name to think that we don't have him anymore. But, man, he was just a freshman, and he went out there. We tied A&M. We're trying to break that streak and break a long losing streak, and Coach Taft decided that day that the tie would be okay. I think we thought that in the conference race, the tie was going to help us so much more than a loss. And I, again, if Grant made the decision, I'm not gonna question it. But some Baylor fans did question it that day, as I recall. I was just in high school, sitting up there, 1990, watching it all play out right over here at this field. And that's gonna be. And there's a lot of great Baylor players that have come in over the years. Now, Aaron, the last one I remember, the Bears. And they've had some wins here over the years, but I remember them winning in a rain. I mean, just rain everywhere, coming in and beating them in 1985, 20-15. Aaron, you and I would have been about 12 years old, and the Bears came in, and I would say, let's see, 85. Who would have been quarterback for Texas A&M? Probably Aaron Craig Stump, somebody like that. Could have even been around the time Gary Kubiak was playing for the Aggies. Bears would have had – Baylor would have been alternating Cody and Tom. They would have had Tom Mickey and Cody Carlson. And they won against A&M in 85, and then Aaron went a long time without a win. In fact, finally broke through in about – oh, Sean Bell was a quarterback, so it was about under Guy, and that would have been 2006, somewhere around there. And that happened at Baylor Stadium and broke like a long, that was a long streak that they had not beaten A&M since, golly, 1985 at that point. So that had been a long time, but they broke the streak. And then the Aggies decided to go to the land of the SEC. So here I am, Aaron, checking out College Station, trying to figure out what it is my daughter will be doing for the next 4 years. And it does still kind of shocks people when I mention it, but that's okay. It's okay. I'm trying. I say it, so I'll kind of get used to it. And it's exciting. It's exciting, and we'll see. Although, Aaron, our Baylor audience, I think, would have been proud of me today. At orientation, they were doing like a Yale practice, and the Yale leaders came out, mm-hmm. and they made everybody stand up and, like, do the, you know, hump. They say, get in the position. It's called hump or whatever. And Aggies know what I'm talking about. They put both their hands on their knees. They bend over, and then they start doing their yells. And I just, this audience of, let's say, 1,000 folks or so were in there. I didn't stay in my seat. I thought that would look just kind of really rude, and I wanted to show some support for my daughter. So I stood up, but I declined to get involved in any of the yells. I did not bend over or do any of it. Thank goodness they did not do the swaying thing. There was no interlocking of the arms and swaying back and forth. And again, while my best friend in the world is a Yell leader, a former Yell leader, or I guess you can't be former anything at A&M, it's a very strange, like, the little weird things they do, it still remains extremely strange to me. And I would even think some of my Aggie brethren and friends out there listening know what I'm saying. Like, when they're like, wandering around in the background, and some of the Aggies are, like, marching around the Yell leaders, I don't understand it, but they do it, and they say kind of funny, weird stuff. Again, it's not for me, but I get why people get into it, because I just think, like, the people that go to UT, they're great, and I got great friends that go to UT, but, you know, they're just all kind of, independent contractors. They're happy that they went to UT. They're a little bit too proud of it. And the people that went to A&M, though, are just, I mean, it's just, I don't know. They're extremely loyal. They carry themselves in a different way. So here I am, and again, the thing I didn't do, Aaron, I was packing last night, and I came across a beautiful new, like, Hawaiian-looking Baylor, button-up, or button-down, and it had a BU on it, and I briefly thought about putting it in, and I just thought, you know what, that's not cool. Like, I don't want to be the dad that's here on campus wearing my Baylor stuff, so today I was just neutral, wore a black. I'm not going to wear A&M stuff, of course, but I did wear just kind of a black button down, and I think that was fine. So there we were. Aaron, at this stadium I'm looking at right now, Kyle Field, I mean, I can think back on the Aggie players and then even the Baylor players, and Quentin Coriat was the incredible Aggie linebacker who probably had the greatest hit in SWC history. But Pat Coriat, his brother, played at Baylor. Pat was an enormous defensive lineman. Quentin was just a bad A, incredible linebacker, was fast, brought the wood. I mean, it was in the middle of all those teams. And then, of course, Baylor would come in here with great teams. And they really, even throughout the 90s, when you had Santana and Robin Big Cat Jones and that bunch running around, and even Gary Joe Kenny and some of that crew, wow. Derek Turner, Ray Berry, some of those guys, Aaron, we were talking about just recently, and they would come in here and lock horns with the wrecking crew. Now, when I passed one of the towers earlier, or one of the little, I don't know what you'd call it, almost looks like an obelisk or something, it had like the Hall of Fame coaches from A&M. R.C. Slocum is in the College Hall of Fame. Obviously, Bear Bryant. Gene Stallings is in there. He was obviously a head coach for both A&M and Alabama. Later on, he won a national title at Alabama, but he always thinks of himself as an Aggie. Aaron, Dana Bible, other, you know, Horace, somebody that I didn't really remember. And then the one that's not on there that I kind of wonder about, like, should Jackie Sherrill be in the College Football Hall of Fame? And if it, and I don't, Aaron, I don't have that. I mean, if you want to look that up, I don't think he is. He was at Pittsburgh, then he was at A&M, and then he finished up at Mississippi State. Like, I do think he was a great college coach. Now, he got A&M into trouble, but everybody but Grant was cheating in the SWC. There was a lot going on about that time, and they almost took down A&M, but I think somebody said to Dale Hansen, Dale, if you want to keep coming after A&M, we know a few things about your nightlife. We know some things you've been up to in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Dale said, okay, I understand. I'm gonna go ahead and stand down here. This is after Dale participated in what happened to SMU, which was the death penalty. Aaron, sometimes, you know, I do kind of think, oh, it'd be kind of cool to be in my 30s again and all that. But the thing I'm happy about that we're at the age we are, Aaron, which is in our late 40s / early 50s, I'm glad we lived at a time where we grew up with the SWC. Like, I really hate it for these kids and anybody that's like 45 and younger that just don't have, especially 42 and younger, that don't have really memories of the SWC, because it was awesome. And these young Aggies, they don't even care. They don't care about SMU. They don't care about Baylor. They don't care about TCU, Rice, Houston. They could not care any. I mean, only my daughter does, because she still loves Baylor. But most of them do not care at all. And yet those were the years. Those were the days. The SWC. And so, Aaron, here at A&M, they have all their conference titles written on one of those statues. And it's kind of fun to look back, because while A&M hasn't, and some people would say they've perhaps fudged on some national titles, they do have a lot of SWC titles listed that I noticed. Aaron, by the way, did we looked? Did we get an answer on the Schmaltz's trivia question. I believe my trivia question was, name the Heisman Trophy winners from Texas A&M. If you do so, you will win two free sandwiches to Schmaltz's. Here's how you get this answer correct.
We have a winner.
Oh, you do? Okay, good. I was about to give the number again. Aaron, who do we have a name?
Grumpy Old Fan. Long-time dedicated listener.
Okay. Grumpy Old Fan, big-time listener, long-time listener of the show. Shout out to him. The answer is obviously John David Crow and Johnny Manziel. All right, one of those guys was in Junction with Bear Bryant, and then one of those guys, it happened in the year 2012, I believe it was. Aaron, isn't that amazing that it's been that long? Doesn't it seem like Johnny was doing that just a couple of years ago? Could that be right? Is it that long? Is he that old now?
Yeah, it's crazy.
2012 for Johnny? That's wild.
It seems.
Yeah, Johnny. I mean, to me, Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
if he had a take.
It makes sense, but it's still mind blowing. I had no idea he was that old either.
Yeah, but Johnny, still. I would say a lot of places in the country, Johnny could show up and he'd just kind of be like, oh, this guy kind of was a screw up. But still think with the Aggs, and again, they know he was a screw up too, but he was their screw up. And he was a Heisman Trophy winner. And he brought in, I mean, the eyeballs to that program along that time. I mean, they'll always remember Johnny. Aaron, they might have a harder time remembering who the head coach was for Johnny. All right, like I think most of our audience, because we have a pretty alert and a really smart bunch, would know that Kevin Sumlin was the head coach. But it's kind of wild that Kevin Sumlin was kind of considered like an exciting, I don't know if he's that young, fairly young coach, and it ended pretty quickly after that. Old Sumlin, they sent him packing, and that's one thing they do here. They do not mind firing a coach, and if they got to pay a whole bunch of money on the way out, they'll do it. They'll do it, and that's. Aaron, that's another thing. Jimbo Fisher in the College Football Hall of Fame yet, and will he be in it? I bet the answer is no. He won a national title at Florida State. He was not great. He was not great at A&M. He was not horrible, but he was not great. Does Jimbo Fisher, for winning that national title circa 2013, does he belong in the College Football Hall of Fame? I don't know. I think that's I think you could debate yes. I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, Grant has won all those awards, and he was the president of the AFCA. Surely he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. But, I mean, just his body of work and how huge he was for college football. Grant, I mean, what he did at Baylor is still one of the most underrated things. I hear sometimes people talk about what Scott Drew did is amazing. What Matt Rhule did was amazing. What Scott Drew did is the best. But what Grant did to a 1972, he arrives, and that thing had gone so far in the tank that they were thinking about canceling that thing out. They were just like, does Baylor even really need to play football? And Grant brought it back from the ashes. Aaron, did you have something? I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm on my cell phone connection.
Grant Taft is a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. He was inducted in 2001. Jackie Sherrill and Jimbo Fisher both are not.
Okay. All right. I would say Jackie for longevity, winning, being such a character, sort of would like to see him in there. But he's probably remembered for getting A&M in some trouble in the SWC, and that probably – Now, Aaron, I'll tell you who else is in there with Grant. Bill Yeoman has to from Houston has to be in there, right? Let's do a check on him. I'll just start throwing out names to you. But I would think Bill Yeoman has to be in there. I just his career at U of H was so great.
Yes.
What he did in Cotton Bowls, okay, he is in there.
He was inducted the same year as
father. Wow. Wow. Well, and I'm trying to think when Bill Yeoman retired, at least probably about 5 years before Grant did. But if you ever wondered why Daryl Royal exited stage left at a fairly early age, at the age of 52, at the University of Texas, just look at Bill Yeoman. Just look at the University of Houston showing up in about 1976. I think that's when Daryl retired after the 76 season. When Houston shows up in the conference, right around 74, and they immediately beat the dog out of University of Texas. And just remember how great Texas had been. The 70 national title, I mean, 69, they were unbelievable. 70, they were unbelievable. Throughout the 70s, they were great. Bill Yeoman shows up with the University of Houston about, right around 75 or 76. And Coach Royal said, I think I'll hang him up and go play golf. I think I'll go over here to Austin Country Club and I'll hang out with Willie and we'll just have a nice time. And that was All right, Aaron, we're off to a strong start, at least in my estimation. We've got Mitch Thompson, Baylor baseball coach, will be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour. And that'll be great because they have the Big 12 championship starting tomorrow. We'll be knocked off the air because of that tomorrow. In fact, that game starts right at 4 o'clock and 3:45 on the pregame right here on ESPN Central Texas. And that'll be exciting. But we'll get to hear from Mitch Thompson as he'll share with you who the Bears will start. And then, Aaron, we got to talk about some of these players that ended up on the first team, the Big 12 first team. That was kind of fun. There's one I'm mad about who did not get Pitcher of the Year. I thought Baylor had a great Pitcher of the Year candidate. We'll discuss some of that next.
It's Employee Pricing Plus at Allen Samuels in Waco. For a limited time, you pay what we pay. Whether you're ready for a powerful new Ram, a sporty Dodge, a rugged Jeep, or a sleek, sexy people hauler Chrysler, we've got the inventory and the deals to get you rolling. Experience top-notch service, unbeatable selection, and financing options that fit your lifestyle. Enjoy the hassle-free atmosphere at Allen Samuels.
Come by. Let's be friends.
Hi, my name is Amanda Cunningham. I am a local realtor that has a passion for people and would love to help you buy or sell that perfect home. You deserve to get top dollar for your home. Listing with an experienced agent that specializes in not only promoting your home, but helping you get your home buyer ready is key. I have a team of people around me that make what I do each day possible. If you are searching for that perfect home, your experience should be pleasant and stress-free. Call me today. I want to meet you. 254-495-0338. Google Amanda Cunningham Realtor with Coldwell Banker Apex to find my website, Facebook, and more.
Looking for the perfect boat? Look no further than Marineland Boating Center, Google's highest rated boating dealership in Texas. They've got Yamaha boats, the number one selling sport boat 5 years running, plus Marineland Boating Center's Yamaha Marine Pro service to keep you on the water. Want more thrills? Check out their lineup of Yamaha Wave Runners for nonstop fun. So why wait? Visit Marineland Boating Center, your authorized Yamaha dealer, I-35 at 340 South, or online at MarinelandWacoYamaha.com.
In January of 2024 at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland, Hewlett-Packard CEO Enrique Lores said, "We have seen malware embedded in printer cartridges that can infect your network. That is just one example of several that UBO Business Services can address within your office to help save your important business data. Remember, it will not cost you a dime to call, but it could cost you thousands if you don't. Call Sean Hunt at 254-709-2101 or ubeo.com.
Need some adventure in your life? Discover the thrill of electric-powered cycling in Central Texas. E-Bike Central is your one-stop shop for e-bikes, trikes, dirt bikes, repairs, and more. They have an extensive collection, plus over 13 bikes under $1,000 to choose from. Their commitment to quality and customer satisfaction makes E-Bike Central the premier destination for all your electric vehicle needs. Located in Temple off South 31st Street and in downtown Waco off University Parks Drive. Check them out at ebikecentraltx.com.
You're listening to ESPN Central Texas, live from the Alan Samuel Studios.
What's new at the locally owned and operated Brazos Landing? I'm glad you asked. How about chef-inspired chicken carbonara, chicken parmesan, or blackened shrimp scampi with Prince Edward Island mussels? Their menu also now includes a journey to Mexico, including Anaheim stuffed peppers, short rib chili relleno, Akaushi ribeye fajitas, elote corn ribs, and cheesy chicken skillet fajitas. Call 254-753-2778 for a reservation.
Whether it's a problem with your debit card or just a simple question, things always seem to come up when your bank is closed. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you have access to a real, live, local person who can resolve issues and answer questions from 6 to 8:30 every morning or from 5 to 10 o'clock every evening. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
On the road again, Camper Repair in Robinson is your one-stop RV repair shop for trailers, motorhomes, even enclosed trailers. Plus, they can even customize your RV. Their experienced technicians can repair and replace everything from your generator and AC to your slide-out, hot water heater, awnings, and more. Repairing or customizing your RV doesn't come lightly, and when it comes to the job, they get you back on the road again. Call them today. On the road again, Camper Repair in Robinson, just off Robinson Drive.
Is it time to upgrade your garage, barn, shed, or warehouse with a new garage door? Veteran-owned and operated, Precision Garage Door Service boasts the largest garage door showroom and design center in Central Texas. Revamp your style with new customized garage doors with windows. Free estimates are available, and all calls are answered by an operator 24/7. Precision Garage Door Service, 1100 Jewel Drive, Waco, 254-522-9657, and at precisiondoorcentraltx.com. Ask about their financing options.
Now back to the Matt Mosley Show on ESPN Central Texas.
It is Mosley, Aaron, and I doing our thing. And Aaron, been an eventful day. We've had a lot going on. I mean, exciting times in the life of the station, ESPN Central Texas, all sorts of comings and goings. You never know. You never know. You might have, like, you just never know who'll show up in the halls of ESPN Central Texas. You may have a former Baylor star just kind of drop by. You just, an NFL star, I should add, but you just never really know. Aaron, I would say that the great one, and I'm talking about Gretzky, wasn't that interesting? Stars closed that thing out the other night against Winnipeg, and in the locker room afterwards, there's Gretzky. There's him telling them how much he loves watching them play, how they're about to go up against one of the greatest teams of all time. Jamie Benn apparently asked him who he's going to be rooting for. Well, you know, I don't know. It is interesting that Gretzky likes the Stars as much as he does. He was in Dallas for the game. He and DeBoer seem to have a really good relationship. But, of course, he won 4 Stanley Cups as a member of the Edmonton Oilers back in the day. And he still leads all-time hockey, at least in points, with 2,857, leads in assists, 1,963. Somebody finally got him, Aaron, with goals. Ovechkin recently surpassed him. But, Aaron, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun as this thing gets going. And two great teams. The Stars go to the – can you imagine, Aaron, if the Cowboys were like this and they just went to the conference final like every year, went to the championship game like they used to under Landry?
I cannot.
I mean, in the, how they did in the 90s. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, the Stars are going to their third in a row. I'm afraid we're starting to take that for granted. Cowboys working on 30 years without doing it. Even the Commanders have been since they've been. In fact, they just went. And then the Stars just kind of go year after year. Edmonton beat them in six last year and then ended up getting taken down in the Stanley Cup Final. Man, this is going to be fun to watch. Aaron, as you know, McDavid is so incredible for Edmonton. I mean, that's still the case. Edmonton, Aaron, has a couple of goalies that interest me. One has been hurt, and so they've had to go to their backup. Their backup's really good, too. Skinner is one of them, Aaron. The other name's escaping me. But they're both extremely capable. So it's not like, oh, man, the other guy's banged up and we're going to catch a break. I think they're both really, really good. Ottinger is a great one for the Stars. So they should, both teams will be in great shape there. I think it's just going to come down to, are the Stars much better? Are they deeper on defense than they were a year ago? Aaron, I think the answer is yes. And I think that Rantanen addition, certainly given them more firepower, you know, what he did in this, what he's done in this postseason is pretty amazing. I would say Vegas probably still might favor Edmonton. I don't know. I don't have that in front of me. But, Aaron, I know you're getting excited for this Western Conference final once again for the Dallas Stars. Do you like the Stars' chances more this year than last because of Rantanen and others?
Yeah, that's exactly why. Like, they were still an amazing team, but they were up 2-1 on Edmonton, I believe, last year, and then Edmonton won three straight. They're much better. They won, added a top five player in the league, and I think that'll be the difference. I think they beat them, and I think they win it all.
Whoa. Aaron's got this team winning it all. Aaron, just as long as they keep Nico away from that organization, you know, I think those fans felt like the, you know, the Avs, and I mean, a lot of those fans, you know, felt betrayed on that Rantanen trade, and Nico seemingly, Aaron, I feel like they've got more safeguards in place. I think even if Nico decides that he doesn't like Cooper Flagg, I do think Dumont's finally kind of like, oh, wait, I think I better do something here. I think I better prevent this. I still think Jason Kidd went on yesterday, Aaron, DLLS, and he kept referring to Cooper Flagg as the kid from Duke. For some reason, I guess, I don't think he has to do this, but he's trying not to say his name for some reason. But it was fun to hear him talk about, you know, all the different ways he could envision small ball center, both forward positions, and could also play shooting guard. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. I mean, they think that Cooper Flagg is capable of playing every position but the point. And the truth is, they could run. I mean, he could be like a point forward. Aaron, do you remember when we first heard the term point forward? You remember where that came from?
Was that Garnett?
Well, who knows? Maybe they said that about him too at one point. I wouldn't think so, because at least with the Minnesota, he was so known for, and he expanded his game a little bit. Aaron, where I started hearing it over and over again was when the Mavs traded for Antoine Walker. You remember him? And, boy, that was the fabled, he's going to be a point forward. Oh, my gosh, we've got Antoine Walker. He's going to be a point forward. Now, he was not awful, but he was not great. He was not great. They also had, Aaron, that 2006 team that went to the finals. They had a player that most people have forgotten. Now, you remember Josh, because he flamed out, and he had some personal demons. Josh, Aaron, what was Josh's last? Josh Howard. Remember, he was he was a rookie that ended up being a great player for the Mavs, but he, unfortunately, his career ended, kind of flamed out quickly, a little bit like Roy Tarpley, because he had some substance abuse issues. The other one, Aaron, was Marquise Daniels. You remember that guy? Like, he was, man, he was good. I think he was on that 2006 finals team, and I liked his game. Now, again, he was a guy that was not happy, and he wasn't getting enough playing time, and he started to pout, and I forget who he ended up getting traded to. They got rid of him, but, man, that team had some fun players on it. Marquise Daniels, Josh Howard, Dirk, of course. Wait, was Jet on the 2006 team and the 2011 team? I think he was. I think he was,
pretty
right?
Sure, yeah.
Or did
I know he's on 2011 team.
Wait. That's what I said. Yeah, but I think Van Exel was on one of those. When was Van Exel with them? He was certainly was with them in like in 2003. What I don't know if he was still with them in 2006. They also had in 2006 they had Dampier, Eric Dampier. They might have even had Keith Van Horn of all people. But little would we know that circa 2009 or 10, they make a huge trade for Jason Kidd. I didn't think it was a great trade at the time. They had to bring Keith Van Horn out of retirement to get the trade made. He'd already been retired, but they had to throw him in the trade to get it done. I think that trade was with the Nets. They bring in Kidd, and lo and behold, in 2011, they did it. And, of course, they had Matrix, Kidd. That team just had a fun makeup. You know, that one guy, Aaron, that was such a – you know, he was just he had the tattoos all over his neck. He was kind of, you know, he's kind of a rough dude, kind of like a Kenyon Martin type guy. He was not as skilled as him, but he was on that 2011 title team. Oh my gosh, I love that team. They had the janitor. They had Brian Cardinal on that team. Oh, I was there the whole time, Aaron, and I was on the court afterwards, and I was with a guy named Earl K. Sneed. And we were working for Fox Sports Southwest, and we interviewed Cuban right after the game. And I would have been, goodness gracious, Aaron, that's been 14 years ago. So I'm 34 years old. My goodness, what a fun time that was. And had my little girl and my wife out there in Miami with me, just hanging out on South Beach. And having the time of our lives as Parker would have been 4. Oh, one more as I reminisce a little bit, Aaron. The Mavs stayed up all night celebrating that championship, and just had the greatest time of their lives. And they flew home from Miami, and we were doing the show. I was with Galloway, and we were doing the show the next day at a Buffalo Wild Wings, and we didn't even ask him to do it. But Rick Carlisle showed up at a Buffalo Wild Wings, and he might have even had the trophy with him. He might have had the Larry O'Brien with him. But he showed up at the Buffalo Wild Wings and came up on stage with us and hung out for like 3 or 4 segments. Viewed as kind of a punk. I mean, people thought he hated me because he could be pretty rude to me on the air. But when it really came down to it, he was a loyal, good dude, and he was a great coach. He was just a weird cat. He was extremely weird. He had this cute, they had an only child like we did, and she was awesome. And they had, and his wife was a doctor, and she was the nicest person ever. And he was so weird and so aloof and so, like, socially off. And yet he was, honestly, I think Rick Carlisle will go down as one of the better coaches of the past 20 years. I really do. And we'll see that as we get going with this Eastern Conference Finals, because his Pacers will take on the Knicks. All right, Aaron, I'm just assuming so, because we're on the magic of the tie line. I'm assuming it's time. We do some... Let's do some Campus Confidential. Let's do that next.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or even the man cave. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way. So it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting your valuable asset. experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing are installing seamless gutters. They're insured and an A-plus rating on the BBB. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out, take a look at your roof, and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work for you. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years of experience to go to work for you all over Central Texas. Check them out online at McAdamsRoofing.com or give them a call at 254-799-2949 because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Gina Kish here. Let us help you get that vehicle, motorhome, or travel trailer ready for your summer travels. Your time is valuable. At Kish Complete Car Care Center, we do it all and at one stop.
Our family wants your family to be safe during your summer travels. Let us help you complete that vehicle checklist so you can enjoy that family vacation comfortably this year. We've been keeping individuals safe, honestly, since 1998. For a complete list of our services, visit CompleteCarCareCenter.com today.
It's 9:30 on a Saturday night. You're at the ballpark getting hot dogs for the kids, and your debit card doesn't work. Lucky for you, Central National Bank's after-hours service is ready to help you get out of all kinds of ninth-inning jams. Just contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a local person who can answer questions and fix problems. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
You're listening to ESPN Central Texas, live from the Alan Samuel Studios.
Since 1975, Schmalta's Sandwich Shop has been serving their one-of-a-kind sandwiches, soups, and salads to hungry Central Texans. They start early in the morning baking their homemade artisan bread. The sandwiches are oven-toasted, giving the bread a crunchy crust covering and a soft and dry, airy center. Ask for everyone's favorite, the Schmaltz, a combination of three cheeses, three meats, and all the fixings. They welcome phone-in orders at their town west or downtown locations. Waco born and bred. Schmaltz's Sandwich Shop.
Tanner Roofing Incorporated, located in Belton, Texas, has been family-owned and operated since 1956 and specializes in residential, commercial, industrial, metal, TPO, coatings, shingles, and repairs. With over 50 years' experience in the roofing industry, Tanner Roofing Incorporated has achieved the following recognitions: Better Business Bureau A+, Owens Corning Platinum Preferred Contractor, Firestone Building Products Approved Contractor, and Mulhide Coating Certified Installer. Call Tanner Roofing Incorporated today for a free estimate, 254-939-0343, or check them out online at TannerRoofing.com.
And exceptional experience and extraordinary results. That's what you receive when you hire the attorneys at Cherry Johnson Sigmund James Law Firm. Craig Cherry, Ryan Johnson, Mark Sigmund, and Scott James are trial lawyers with 100 plus years of combined experience, specializing in catastrophic personal injury and product defect cases, as well as business disputes. They have unmatched credentials, real-world experience, and a passion to serve your legal needs. The lawyers at Cherry Johnson Sigmund James have obtained substantial settlements and over $2 billion in verdicts for their clients, due in no small part to their integrity and relentless tenacity. They also have knowledge in business, finance, and engineering. Learn more about Cherry Johnson Sigmund James at cjsjlaw.com. Their Waco office is located at 7901 Fish Pond Road, just off Highway 6, Loop 340.
Baylor, Big 12 Baseball on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears open play in the Big 12 tournament in Arlington Wednesday afternoon against Oklahoma State. 3:45 for the warm-up show, 4 p.m. first pitch from the Big 12 tournament Wednesday.
Follow the Bears through the Big 12 Conference with Derek Smith and Tom Barfield right here on ESPN Central Texas.
It's time for Campus Confidential, our daily look at college football news. Here's your host, Matt Mosley.
It is Matt Mosley, and I am on the road today, and grateful for all our technology. Through the magic of the tie line, I come to you from College Station, Texas. I am looking at Kyle Field as I do the show. Aaron, they have right on campus, they have this nice, big, beautiful hotel. I would imagine during A&M games, I would have to guess this thing goes up to about 800 or 900 a night. Fortunately, here on whatever it is, May 20th, not so much. Not so much. It's in the Mosley. It's affordable for the Mosley family. But, man, a lot of incredible games have been played at that place. And we're here with my youngest daughter and my only daughter as she's doing orientation for Texas A&M. And I know to people that know how much I love Baylor and my family, that still is sort of shocking for people to hear. But things happen, all right? And you just deal with them in life. And we will, hopefully somebody will pay for this. Okay, Aaron, tell me what we have in Campus Confidential today.
Baylor football with another commitment out of the transfer portal. Offensive lineman Connor Cameron from Arizona State. The redshirt freshman is the second commitment from along the offensive line, joining Louisville transfer Joe Cocker. He was a member of the 2024 recruiting class out of Gilbert, Arizona, and redshirted last season. He is 6'7". And 300 pounds, and we'll have 4 years of eligibility left.
All right, get him in here. Get him in here. Get him in the weight room. Toughen him up a little bit. Let him do his thing. That's fine. I mean, like, I don't know why he left Arizona State, because they're arguably the cream of the crop right now in the Big 12. But we've created a spot for him. Let's see how he does. I mean, I don't think the Bears were not able to go out and spend $30 million on a portal class like our friends at Texas Tech did, but they've been somewhat selective. They've had here and there. They've had some interesting DBs. They had one wide receiver that I'm excited about. He used to play for Alabama, I believe. So this will be interesting. And what's our buddy's name, Aaron, from Alabama? Prentice? I think it's Prentice. I like this kid. I like him. I like the routes he runs. Aaron, did you happen to see, speaking of routes, the young man from Colorado, did you see Travis Hunter running some routes early in his NFL time for Jacksonville? Did you happen to see any of that?
I did not.
Aaron, he was slip-sliding around, as they say. They were not crisp routes that he was running, all right? And I think he'll be fine, but it was not footage that you would want being passed around. It was a man that was not sure of his footing, and maybe it was the cleats, maybe it was the surface. But I would say early on, the young man looks more like a cornerback in the NFL than a wide receiver. All right, and I think that's the way we would phrase that. All right. Aaron, what else can you share with us from Campus Confidential? Probably one of the most listened to segments here at ESPN Central Texas. I just want anybody, Aaron, that might have a hand in this show moving forward or this station, I just want them to know what are the most exciting segments of the day, and this happens to be one of those. What else do you have for us?
Texas Tech transfer forward Darian Williams has exited the NBA draft per CBS Sports' John Rothstein, and now it is a race to see who will sign him. The front runners are apparently Kansas and North Carolina State. Williams, who 24/7 Sports had ranked as the number 6 overall prospect in the 2025 portal, averaged 15.1 points, 5.5 rebounds, 3.6 assists, and 1.3 steals for a 28-win Texas Tech club that made it to the Elite Eight.
Man, I love that kid. And he was great for Grant McCaslin. I mean, you would think, Aaron, with all that money, I heard from Grant today. I made some joke last night to him that people that don't know, Grant McCaslin's my old fraternity brother at Baylor. And I said, I don't think we can afford you anymore to bring you in. Aaron, we paid his favorite charity like $2,000. We said, hey, we'll just give whatever to come speak to our fraternity dinner. And so I told him, I said, there's no way we can afford you anymore. I didn't hear the number. We'll probably get that for Tech. because that's a public records type place. That's a state school. Aaron, I would bet if he's through 2031 and they've made him one of the highest paid coaches in America, to me, Aaron, you don't think they're paying him more than Scott, do you? Now, could that cause problems in the friendship if Tech starts paying McCaslin more than his mentor, Scott? Surely not. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we got to keep Scott ahead of Grant in the whole payment situation. But, man, I bet they both make – I hate to speculate. You know, do you think they ever sit around and wonder, like, what Mosley makes, like Scott and Grant? How much are they paying Mosley? I bet that's something they've talked about. What do you think Mosley's making it over at the radio station? I mean, the answer is a lot. Okay, Aaron, what else do you have, man? I've enjoyed this so far.
Speaking of that contract that he signed, A. David Collier from Red Raider Nation has some contract details. Contract includes buyout language, apparently, that would require McCaslin to pay 60% of his remaining contract if he accepts an NCAA head coaching position in the state of Texas. Also, according to a Tech spokesman, McCaslin will make $5 million next season with $100,000 increases annually that will reach $5.5 million in the final year of the deal.
You know, he's younger than I am. Aaron, but it is always funny when you have a buddy and he just used to goof around and he kind of dated one of my sister's best friends. But again, just a total goof off. Not great guy. He's always been a great guy. But he was like a jokester. I can kind of picture him just hanging out over at my sister's apartment with her buddy Andy, who he had they dated a bit, and then the guy's making $5 million a year. Whoa, that's good. And you know what? He's put in the time. He worked his rear off, and you talk about earning it and paying his stripes. He did every bit of that. So good for Grant. And there's probably not too many people in life I could be more excited for than Grant McCaslin. You remember Aaron? A couple of years ago, he had 103 fever. He comes into Waco, he's sick as a dog, but it was not in him to say, no, I can't do the show. He just did it because that's who he is. And he could barely talk, and of course I made fun of his voice on the air, and the sucker had like 104 temperature. I mean, by next week, Aaron, it'll be 106, but we'll keep moving it up there. But very, very happy for Grant because he is a great guy, and that makes how many Baylor assistants out there now, Aaron? You got one at Wichita State. These are Scott Drew assistants. Wichita State, FAU, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Mary Harden Baylor. Sam Patterson is now the new head coach at Mary Harden Baylor. He used to be at Oral Roberts with Paul Mills. He's at Mary Harden Baylor now. Who am I missing, Aaron? Has Scott had, huh?
McNeese State? No. I'm thinking of someone else. That's the.
LSU. No, that's okay.
I mean, he was here.
Bill was here. I think he would think of himself as like a Will Wade guy. But 100%. You're right. He was on the Baylor staff. But boy, Scott has produced a ton of guys, and then one of them is. Just went back. One of his old coaches just went back, joined up with Tang. Bill Peterson is now with he left Denver and he's gone to be an assistant coach with Jerome Tang. And he used to be on Scott's staff as well. So pretty cool thing. And then that FAU staff has like four or five ex-Baylor guys. So if you're looking for another team, like a mid-major to root for, that would be one. Aaron, I don't know who replaced Grant's replacement at North Texas. That North Texas made a hire, and I remember they hired this guy, and I'm like, who? Like that didn't totally make sense to me. But Grant's replacement is now the head coach at West Virginia. His name is Ross Hodge. And I would imagine West Virginia's paying him two and a half, $3 million a year, maybe. All right, Aaron, what else do we have?
I was looking up North Texas head basketball coach Daniel Robinson.
I just didn't know that guy.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a weird, it was kind of a weird hire. I don't really know him.
The Big 12 released their postseason baseball awards, and two Baylor players earning first team honors. No surprise, those two are right-handed reliever Gabe Craig and shortstop Tyreek Kemp. Craig was the best relief pitcher in college baseball this year, led the country in whip, ERA, and strikeout to walk ratio. Managed strikeout to walk ratio was 15.67-1, which is just mind-blowing. And Kemp, a senior from Rotterdam, Netherlands, had a breakout season with a .364 batting average, .551 slugging, 1.004 OPS in his senior season, and multiple SportsCenter top 10 plays.
Yeah, you're right. And Aaron, I noticed that one of his parents is from Curacao. One of his parents is from Aruba. They ended up in those places, I think, are part of the Netherlands. Aaron, who else is from Curacao that used to play for the Texas Rangers? Does any name come to mind?
Ooh. No. I should know this.
The player in question is Jurickson Profar. He grew up in Curacao. Anyway, and that is where one of Tyreek's, Aaron, you know, one thing we got to do before Tyreek gets drafted, we got to get him on. Mm-hmm. And I bet he has kind of a cool Netherlands type accent. I don't know what Netherlands. I think English is his third language, because he speaks Dutch, he speaks like another language, and then English is his third. And you know what, Aaron? I guarantee you, we have him on, he'll speak English better than the two of us. Which I'm not saying we're like leading the nation in English. Although I had some good English professors at Baylor. Greg Garrett, big-time English professor at Baylor, big listener to the show, by the way. For some reason, even though I really was not, I did not do well in law school. I did go to law school. But for some reason, all my English professors and my law professors, I stayed really good friends with. Like Professor Sarah's out there right now. He's my criminal law and crim procedure, and I didn't do worth a hoot in his classes. And yet, we're still friends to this day. So I don't know what that says, but Aaron, I don't know, if things work out the wrong way for me, like in the next, let's say, 10 days or next 24 hours, I might return to law school. I might go finish up law school. Baylor, would you take me back? Professor Featherston has retired, so that hurts my chances. Professor Sayre, what do you think? You think you could get me back in there? I think I would have a different approach. Professor Trell, I did have a B in his contracts class. I think I would have a much better approach. So if any law school professors are listening, see what you can do. I need options right now. All right, it is the Mosley Show. Aaron, did you have anything else? Or are we good?
A real quick, Ross Dellinger with a pretty big story I think is going under the radar. Ooh. That the power conferences, since states are passing bills to basically – prevent the NCAA or the conferences from punishing NIL collectives or the schools for anything NIL related. According to Ross Dellinger's article today, the Power Conference is working on a new contract to bind schools to new enforcement rules with strict punishments. Schools that don't sign it risk eviction from their conferences per the deal, regardless of state laws combating the impending House settlement. So, gonna get interesting.
Love a good threat. Yeah, I want to see them kick out, because Tennessee, the lawmakers in Tennessee have moved quickly to, you know, create laws that are favorable to NIL. Okay, not shockingly. I want to see them try to evict Tennessee from the SEC. That's really what I'd like to see. Let's see an eviction. And let's just see if they can follow through on this. This is a lot of bravado. This is a lot of talk. Oh, man. There's a lot going on. Aaron, that's interesting. And I tell you what, let's keep going down that path. I've got a few things to share with you. And, Aaron, there's a big enforcement story in the NCAA and the lack thereof moving forward that we need to discuss. Let's do that next.
Find sports news, streaming, and show podcast at CentexSportsFan.com.
Want to skip your next 3 months of car payments? Refinance your car or truck with Genco and keep your payments for 90 days. Then lower your payment with our great rates, as low as 5.19%. Each week, we'll draw two loans to win $100 cash. We're here to save you money. Refinance today. No payment for 90 days. Lower your interest rate and win $100 cash. You can apply online right now. Offer subject to credit approval and eligibility. For details, go to GencoFCU.org. Genco!
When we say at UBO Business Services that we are the premier service provider for Ricoh, Xerox, Konica-Minolta, Canon, Kyocera, and Lexmark copiers and printers, we are not blowing hot air. One way we quantify our status as the best is an independent company used by millions of organizations called Net Promoter Score. It is the most consistent way to rank brand loyalty and customer service. A score of 70 or better is considered world class. UBO score is an 86. Call Sean Hunt at 254-709-2101 or ubeo.com.
Make your vehicle look and run like new again at CNC Collision Center. They are your locally owned and operated location for paint and body repairs, frame straightening, spray and bed liners, and wheel alignments. CNC Collision Center offers free estimates, and they will also come to you for vehicle pickup and delivery. Have your car restored to its original beauty at CNC Collision Center. 5849 North Highway 6 in Spiegelville at cccollisioncenter.com and on Facebook.
And exceptional experience and extraordinary results. That's what you receive when you hire the attorneys at Cherry Johnson Sigmund James Law Firm. Craig Cherry, Ryan Johnson, Mark Sigmund, and Scott James are trial lawyers with 100 plus years of combined experience, specializing in catastrophic personal injury and product defect cases, as well as business disputes. They have unmatched credentials, real world experience, and a passion to serve your legal needs. The lawyers at Cherry Johnson Sigmund James have obtained substantial settlements and over $2 billion in verdicts for their clients, due in no small part to their integrity and relentless tenacity. They also have knowledge in business, finance, and engineering. Learn more about Cherry Johnson Sigmund James at cjsjlaw.com. Their Waco office is located at 7901 Fish Pond Road, just off Highway 6, Loop 340.
Listen to ESPN Central Texas online at CentexSportsFan.com.
Dana Roofing Incorporated, located in Belton, Texas, has been family-owned and operated since 1956 and specializes in residential, commercial, industrial, metal, TPO, coatings, shingles, and repairs. With over 50 years' experience in the roofing industry, Tanner Roofing Incorporated has achieved the following recognitions: Better Business Bureau A+, Owens Corning Platinum Preferred Contractor, Firestone Building Products Approved Contractor, and Mulehide Coating Certified Installer. Call Tanner Roofing Incorporated today for a free estimate, 254-939-0343, or check them out online at TannerRoofing.com.
Slovacek Sausage has found a great home in Central Texas, and we're growing with you. We have found so many ways to celebrate all the great things about Texas: football, family, and friends, and so much more. We have all of the barbecue, specialty meats, and over 35 kinds of kolaches to make your next meal or gathering a great success, and we do all the work. If you're on the road, we have the best place for your pooch to stop and stretch with our beautiful dog park. So with the hospitality of Texas and our Czech heritage, vítame vás. That means we welcome you. At Slovacek's, you'll love our sausage.
Is it time to upgrade your garage, barn, shed, or warehouse with a new garage door? Veteran-owned and operated, Precision Garage Door Service boasts the largest garage door showroom and design center in Central Texas. Revamp your style with new customized garage doors with windows. Free estimates are available, and all calls are answered by an operator 24/7. Precision Garage Door Service, 1100 Jewel Drive, Waco, 254-522-9657, and at precisiondoorcentraltx.com. Ask about their financing options.
Baylor Big 12 Baseball
on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears open play in the Big 12 tournament in Arlington Wednesday afternoon against Oklahoma State. 3:45 for the warm-up show, 4 p.m. first pitch from the Big 12 tournament Wednesday.
Follow the Bears through the Big 12 Conference with Derek Smith and Tom Barfield right here on ESPN Central Texas.
From the Alan Samuels Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Studios, this is KRZI Waco, K222DC Waco, K265DV Temple, ESPN Central Texas.
It's time for hour number two of the Matt Mosley Show right here on ESPN Central Texas, along with Aaron Sexton. Now, back to your host, Matt Mosley.
It is Matt Mosley. Aaron, I'm more on point than even usual. I know a lot of times I'm on point, and I think people out there would agree, and just like, golly, Mosley's on fire today. What's going on? Aaron, I understand there are more people listening. There are people in the office today. They're just monitoring our behavior on air. So I think you and I have been even sharper than usual, which is hard to believe. But Aaron, I want to compliment you on what you've done today, and I want to, you know, we're gonna keep doing our best. And Aaron, we're being knocked off the air tomorrow. Hate it, Aaron, because I mean, there's nobody that loves working on their birthday more than I do. But Aaron, all the things that you would like to do on the air usually probably line up a lot of guests and people wanting to celebrate me. I would imagine the owner of the station, you know, Gary Moss would probably want to do something special to celebrate my birthday. The Baylor Bears will interrupt tomorrow, and they will play at 4 o'clock. They'll play the Big 12 championship, and that's fine. And in fact, we're going to have Mitch Thompson on here in a minute, and Aaron, that's coming up in just about 15 minutes from now. You'll get to hear Mitch Thompson, and that'll be really good. I was mad, Aaron, on a couple of items with Baylor baseball. I thought Gabe Craig, they did some co stuff on like player of the year or something. Why did they not do co pitcher of the year? They gave it to Antoine John, J-E-A-N, from Houston. Houston's not that good at baseball. They do have an elite closer. And when Baylor played him, he was unbelievable. I mean, I get it. He's good. He's really good. He's in his fifth or sixth year. He's great. But, I mean, Gabe had just as good, if not a better year. The numbers stack up. I would have gone with the co-pitcher of the year with Gabe Craig. Again, Antoine John, he's great. He's great. But I feel like that was one of those, let's give the Cougars a bone. Let's give the old Cougars a little something. Hey, Gabe Craig, first team, all Big 12, that's good. On the freshman team, Pearson Reebok, really good young player for the Bears. Let's get him some NIL money. Let's keep him around. Aaron, that one guy that was so great a few years ago for the Bears, he now plays at Georgia. Like Lucas or somewhere up in Dallas, up kind of closer to McKinney. Lovejoy High School. He was such a great player, and he literally was going to be the centerpiece of Baylor, and he had a chance to be one of the best players in the Big 12. What does he do at Georgia? Aaron, he bats ninth. This is the second year he's batted ninth. He does play. He's a shortstop. His name's, Aaron, what is his name? Cole something? Cole Calhoun? Cole? I don't know.
I think that's right.
I've tried to put it out of my mind. Something like that. Yeah, something. Or that may be a character from Yellowstone. But anyway, he could have been Baylor's greatest player, and he chose to go to Georgia, take a little money. I bet they paid him like, hey, we'll pay you $200,000 if you'll come out here. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. All right, I'd love to go make money. Aaron, you think that family in Lovejoy was up there really struggling, like, God, we got to get our son to Georgia so the family can have a little more money? I don't think that's the case. The kid was coming to Baylor. Baylor is a very expensive school, and he was unreal. And they would have need to keep it. About that. But you know what that opened the way for is the great Tyreek Kemp to take over shortstop. And Aaron, today he gets named Big 12 first team player. And there's no better shortstop. There's no better fielding shortstop in the country. And his offensive numbers are great. And he's just, he's just getting more and more pop in his bat. He's a little dude. He's 5'7", 5'8". He just rips the ball out of the park. He's got great pop. His dad was a player on the Netherlands national team. His brother's played, but he became the best in his family. His brothers both played with a flair, I've read. Levi Caraway wrote a nice article about that a few weeks ago on Sikkim. And, God, this kid's good. He's so great. So I have enjoyed that immensely. Just watching him, and both those guys were first team. Gabe, the closer, was first team. Pearson Reebok. Aaron, was there anybody honorable mention that I'm missing? There was somebody that's honorable mention that's not coming to mind. Baylor had some. Oh, maybe Trav. What's their second baseman's name? Aaron, Travis Sanders. Does that sound right to you, Travis Sanders? Anyway. Great young player. I mean, really transferred in, and he's been a little bit of a slump here lately. He was on about a 5-for-30. He broke out of it against UCF. This kid. I mean, so Baylor's middle infield was so good with Travis out there at second and Tyreek. And, Aaron, I got to say, both Glenn, we gave Glenn a little surprise call today just to say hi to him. Both Glenn and Mitch – this year, trading on and off, were so cool, and we are so appreciative of First National Bank and then Marineland Boating, one of the great boating centers in the country, certainly Texas, and the Wave Runners and everything they have out there. It's just unreal, and Ken's become a good friend over the years, and they're just good people. They're really good people, and we appreciate them stepping up and being great sponsors of these of our times with Glenn Moore and, of course, Mitch Thompson. And we'll hear from Mitch Thompson coming up in just a few minutes. Now, Aaron, you brought up the thing about college football, and the thing I've found fascinating, and I thought what you brought up was a good one, but this enforcement story has my attention. The NCAA is no longer going to be in charge of enforcement. At one point, the Baylor president was on this huge committee over enforcement. She's on everything. And they're getting out of the enforcement business. In fact, they're going to be like more like college eligibility, maybe like an NIL clearinghouse, all that. But when it comes to enforcement, you know, the punishment, the fact that the NCAA took years to ever do anything to UNC, and in the end they didn't do anything to them for an academic scandal. Same thing against Kansas basketball. They stayed after them for years, did nothing. I think Bill Self sat out a game against, like, Concordia Lutheran or something. They did nothing to them. The way you handle the NCAA now is just to deny everything and keep battling them. That's the way you handle them. That's the way you've got to handle them. So it's very interesting. What the Power Four conferences are going to do is come up with a CEO. They're going to hire them for seven figures. If you're out there and you think you're fit for this, in fact, I might apply for this, seven-figure job. There'll be someone who kind of is the ultimate decider of the punishment. Now, he will report to a board of advisors, and they'll be that. But, Aaron, the NCAA is getting out of the enforcement business, and they're going to get somebody kind of like a Yormark or somebody that kind of comes from outside college athletics to be the CEO of this and come in with the punishment. Will this be better than the NCAA? It has to be. It has to be. Nobody can be as bad at the NCAA as this stuff. And the NCAA is great at just sort of hiring continuing to perpetuate. It's like Charlie Baker, Charlie the president of this. And let's pay Charlie, I don't know, what's Charlie deserve? $5-10 million a year? What's Charlie done? He's just kind of, he's a reactive type leader like everybody that's been with the NCAA. Charlie has at least been somewhat good at trying to usher the NCAA into whatever it's going to become. But the whole thing is a mess right now. But Aaron, that thing you brought up was interesting to me too, because it was kind of like, I think the Power Four conferences are making a huge power move right now. They're saying, we are going to not only name these people, but we're going to decide who can sue, when you can't sue, if you have state laws that are outside of what we agree on is our NIL rules, then we can kick you out of the conference. Now, Aaron, nobody believes that. Like, I'd like to see them kick Alabama out. I'd like to see the SEC go, you know what, Alabama, you all are being bad actors here. DeBoer and others are not following the rules. You're not doing what we ask you to do in the House settlement. So we're going to evict you from the SEC. Aaron, would you like to guess the first team that would get the eviction? There's at least one team that I could see getting evicted from the SEC. Can you name that team?
Vandy?
Yes. That's the only team that SEC would just throw overboard and go, screw them. We know they help our GPA. We know they got great academics, but they don't move the needle for us at all. And while we love college baseball, in the end, it's not football. It's not men's and women's basketball. It's something, but it's not those. So they would throw Vandy overboard. Aaron, I like this. What we're doing here. Who would be next to get thrown overboard in the SEC? Let's take a peek at this. Let's think who they would throw overboard. I think I have my name. Who would you go with next? Who are they willing to throw overboard?
Nothing jumping out.
I'll say mine. I think the next school they would throw overboard, and I would be mad for Jason Cook and a lot of my friends that are part of this university, they would throw Mississippi State out the door. They'd just say, you know what, you guys are, those cowbells are annoying. You do play good baseball. You're horrible at football since Dak's gone. You were good at football, but you ran off your coach. Where did he go, Aaron? Oh, Dan Mullen, was that who was there? And he went to Florida, and he's somewhere now. He's shown up somewhere else now. Dan Mullen is back coaching again. Okay, so I've got Vandy first, Mississippi State, and then Aaron, I think the next school to get thrown out would be either Missouri or South Carolina. Who do you like more between those two schools?
I was thinking Kentucky.
The journalism program of Mizzou in play, or would you kick them out and keep South Carolina?
I think you keep Missouri. I mean, I know it's partly because they've been in the SEC West, but they won some conference titles.
Yeah. No, you mean the East. You meant the East.
Oh, East, yeah, yeah. West is dominant.
Now, South Carolina has a Heisman candidate, has a secret little Heisman candidate hiding out there, and I believe his name is Lenoris Sellers, so let's keep that in mind. But as we speak, Aaron, I know we got a big-time guest coming up, and we'll have Mitch Thompson joining us any minute now. But, Aaron, I'm looking out over another SEC school. I just think A&M brings in too much money. And while they're really struggling in a lot of sports right now, I don't think they would be on the list of getting kicked out. First of all, Playfly is paying them $36 million. Aaron, as the flagship to Baylor, I mean, can we just, I don't exactly know how this works. Can we just go out and ask for like 30, we'd settle for $16 million. We'd like $16 million this year. I think it'd be good. I'm thinking of different things we could do, Aaron. I'm being very proactive as we do this. Okay, Mitch Thompson, the Baylor baseball coach. We always love when he joins us. Thank you, First National Bank. Thank you, Marine Land Boating. Mitch Thompson, Baylor baseball coach, joins us next.
When we say at UBO Business Services that we are the premier service provider for Ricoh, Xerox, Konica-Minolta, Canon, Kyocera, and Lexmark copiers and printers, we are not blowing hot air. One way we quantify our status as the best is an independent company used by millions of organizations called Net Promoter Score. It is the most consistent way to rank brand loyalty and customer service. A score of 70 or better is considered world class. UBO score is an 86. Call Sean Hunt at 254-709-2101 or ubeo.com.
Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Since 1975, Schmalta's Sandwich Shop has been serving their one-of-a-kind sandwiches, soups, and salads to hungry Central Texans. They start early in the morning baking their homemade artisan bread. The sandwiches are oven-toasted, giving the bread a crunchy crust covering and a soft and dry, airy center. Ask for everyone's favorite, the Schmaltz, a combination of three cheeses, three meats, and all the fixings. They welcome phone-in orders at their Town West or downtown locations. Waco, born and bred, Schmaltz's Sandwich Shop.
Now back to the Matt Mosley Show on ESPN Central Texas.
It is Matt Mosley Show, ESPN Central Texas. Mitch Thompson joining us now on the eve of the Big 12 tournament getting going. And Coach, it's it's been a roller coaster of a season. There have been a lot of highs. There have been a few lows. But I think on the whole, there have been lots of positive developments. One of those is getting back in the tourney. And, again, all these milestones along the way in your time, taking over the Baylor program, this is another one. And this is quite an opportunity. How do you feel as you get ready to get on the bus and head to Arlington?
Yeah, no, we're excited to get there and turn it on and see what we can pull off. You know, I mean, we've probably got to win the thing to have any chance to advance to the NCAA tournament. So we're looking at four games in a row. Can we go pull it off? Well, we're gonna go give it a shot and see what we can do.
Well, and you open, Oklahoma State is a team you played, again, I don't know if that's good, bad, whatever. You're very familiar because you were just with them. Y'all on the third game obviously pulled out a great, y'all have a way of doing that. Even when a series isn't going your way, you do seem to always find a way to at least salvage a game. You're coming off winning a series. So I would think the guys have to have, some confidence. How do you... I mean, you can't coach the team completely differently in a tournament. Obviously, you know who you have, you know what you can send out there. But what is the guy's mindset? Is it kind of, hey, one game at a time? What is the mindset? Because this is just going to be a whole different feel because you've been locked in that three game and the midweek and all of that. This becomes a whole different kind of feeling. How do you kind of get them in the right mindset for this?
Yeah, and I don't know that it is a whole different feeling, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, we've continuously preached all year long, this is the only game that matters. It's the one that you're playing. Let's go win this one. Let's focus on this one. And so while we know that we've got to probably go win four games to get into the tournament, to get into the NCAA tournament, it just has to happen. It's just one game at a time, four times. And I think the guys do have a lot of confidence in the fact that they've beaten everybody we've played. I mean, there's nobody that we haven't beaten that we've played. Now, we haven't played West Virginia, and we didn't play BYU. So we'll see if we run into them. But everybody else in the tournament, we have beaten. So, you know, there's a lot of confidence in the knowledge that, hey, you know, if we'll go play our game, if we'll pitch our game, if we'll play good baseball, then we've got a shot to win today. And so it's just win today four times, one game at a time, four times, and see if we can pull that off. Obviously, it's going to take everybody on the roster. It's going to take everybody on our pitching staff. We're going to need to get quality innings and quality efforts out of some of our guys that you know, haven't thrown as much and do that. But what an opportunity for them to rise and shine. And I think the guys' mindset's good right now. I'm excited to go play, and we'll see. I think the league's good, so everybody we're playing is pretty dadgum good, and you know, but our confidence, I think, is high.
You're right. I mean, I was already projecting it out, and I know you can't really do that, but I was already thinking about who you'd play in the second round. And I mean, again, it's a team y'all can totally beat, and so why not get on a run here? Baylor's done it in the past, and I think, like you say, it's a great opportunity. Mitch Thompson on the Matt Mosley Show, ESPN Central Texas. You know, I saw Coach Snedeker, and I saw it on social media. We've known Gabe Craig, your closer, has been unbelievable this season. We talked a lot about Tyreek, and so you got a couple of just players that have had just huge breakout seasons for you. That's got to be a luxury in the sense that it's like you'd like to save Gabe, but at the same time, you know, you got to get him in there as soon as you can when you have such a huge weapon. You know, we've seen major league teams do it in the postseason where their top reliever shows up in the fourth or fifth inning. I think even, you know, the Indians, now known as the Guardians, did that a few years back, if I recall correctly. First of all, have you, again, we've talked about Tyreek, but from a closer standpoint, is this one of the best seasons for a reliever you've ever been around? I mean, I feel like we're doing this with different players, but the numbers-wise, I cannot recall a Baylor player over the years having quite this level of dominance. Where does this rank up there with some of the relievers you've had over the years?
Well, there's been great ones, you know, Zane Carlson, Troy Montemayor, mm-hmm. Kyle Hill, you know, here previously, Jason Jennings when he was a freshman. There's been great ones. But I think the thing that maybe separates Gabe at this point in time, it's just the fact that, I mean, this guy's leading the country in so many stats for relievers. I mean, he's number one in the country in ERA. He's number one in the country in WHIP, which is walks and hits per inning pitched. You know, they get 0.53 runners on base per inning that he pitches. They get half of a runner on base. So, you know, it's that's incredible. He's number one in the country in strikeout to walk ratio. He's number two in the country in hits per nine innings. He's number two in the country in walks per nine innings. And he's eighth in the country in strikeouts per nine innings. So it's a pretty dadgum dominant performance. I mean, we put him up for the pitcher of the year for the conference, and I don't know how the vote went. I know that there's some talented guys in this league, but when you're leading the country in so many different stats and, you know, you're sitting here, you pitched in, you know, how many games that he's pitched in and how many games he's finished for us and how many games he saved for us, he's been dadgum dominant. And so I think you can put him up there with anybody and everybody that's been through here before and think that he matches up pretty good.
You know, the good news is it's not like you've been extremely patient with your starters this year. At the first sign of trouble, you know you have a talented bullpen, you go get them. So I guess in some ways, getting ready for a tournament, man, you've been doing a little bit of that all season. I mean, even recently here, you had someone who went 2 2/3 and was okay, was out there battling and did pretty well for you. But, you know, you knew what you had to have it. And you got, you know, you got another player in there. These relievers have been so good. So I guess what I'm saying, Mitch, it's kind of like you said, business as usual, isn't it? When you look at this staff that you have, you will have no problem going and getting one of your guys and getting it into a game. And you'll worry about game two you know, after game one is in the books, correct?
Yeah, that's it. That's the only way to go about this. I mean, so yeah, you're not going to get to game two if you don't win game one, and you know, a single elimination tournament, not really the best design ever for college baseball or for baseball. That's why they don't do this in the playoffs in the big leagues, because, you know, one pitcher can make all the difference in the world in the game of baseball. But that's the way that we're doing it this year, is a single elimination tournament. And so that's the only way that we can go about it. Win today, win in advance, or win or lose and go home. So that's the way it'll be.
All right, let me get your quick take on what you thought about the conference deciding to go out to surprise. I saw that news. I saw Kendall reacting to that, you know, the D1 guy. And, in basketball, we've begged for years, could you possibly bring this thing back to the Metroplex? Here's one where you got all these teams right around here that seemingly is a good fit for the Metroplex and for some of the power base of this conference. So I don't know. You can't be that excited about it. I don't know. Maybe you'll be diplomatic, but what do you think? Is this kind of like throwing them a bone out there on the West Coast and then they'll come back? What kind of sense do you get from this decision?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not included in the meetings to decide where it's going to be. So, I think we've had ideal venue for the past however many years that it's been in Globe Life. I think that's about as ideal as it can possibly get to play in a major league facility that's indoors and climate controlled. And I don't know how it gets any better than that. So, you know, surprise will be a new thing, and we'll definitely go out there and give it a shot. And I was looking at the temperatures out there in Surprise for this week, kind of imagining, well, what would it be like next year? And it'll put a little fear in you. I mean, you know, 98, 102, 104, but there's not going to be any rain out there, that's for sure. So, you know, it is what it is. And the conference, this is what they think is the best thing for us right now. And that's what we're going to do. And we'll be excited about it. So, we'll just have to bring some sunblock and plan on getting back in that air conditioning as fast as we can.
Mitch, I was sensing frustration from you after that one series. Y'all salvaged that game against Oklahoma State, but y'all were not hitting in those first two games. Obviously, you showed a lot of fight to come back and win that third game. But I know that was, you know, you were frustrated, from what I could tell, with the lack of adjustments being made during the game, you know, as the game went on. And in that series at UCF, getting that series win, have you started to see, I noticed three of your big dudes had multi-hit games, which was a great sign, and I think it was maybe game two of that UCF series, might have been game one. Have you seen some positive results in that direction? And what did you do and what did your staff do to kind of get their attention, so to speak?
Well, I think our guys have continued to fight. I think there was a period of time, you know, where you have multiple guys in your lineup that are kind of going through a rough spot. And it becomes mm-hmm. – that becomes a problem, you know. You can kind of handle one guy. You can maybe handle two guys that are having a little bit of a tough time, but you can't have three or four of your better players kind of going through the same thing and at the same time and be very good offensively. And I think we struggle with that a little bit. Out in Orlando, I thought our guys swung the bats pretty dadgum good. I thought we competed really well at the plate. You know, we hit balls out of the ballpark. I thought we competed pretty well out there. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to see if we can carry that kind of momentum into the tournament. And some of the guys that were struggling definitely showed signs of coming out, you know, and swinging the bat well. And that's what we're going to need. I mean, when you get into a tournament and you know, you're going to be playing four games in 4 days, you're obviously going to be pitching stretched a little bit, but pretty much everybody else that you'll be playing is the same way. And it'll be dependent upon, can you out-hit the other guys? you know, I mean, you're just probably not going to be shutting people out all the time. So it's good. It's a good time to be kind of getting going again with for some of our guys, and hopefully they'll take that momentum from Orlando and go put it to use this weekend in Arlington.
Mitch Thompson on the Matt Mosley Show. I hadn't talked to you since Tyreek had that one thing where he came racing around from second when the shortstop booted the ball for Oklahoma State. And I noticed in one of the quotes you said, you know, third base coach did a nice job on the send. Do you think Tyreek ever saw that send?
I do. I think he did. But, you know, the thing that made that play for me above all else was there were several things that if you don't really pay attention, you don't understand how it affected the play. Well, it's a pretty routine ground ball hit to the shortstop. But because Pearson Reebok has fought for as big of a primary lead as he can have at first base as the trail runner with Tyreek at second, and Pearson gets a good jump and is running as hard as he can, he's going to try and beat the play to second base on the flip. And it's going to be bang, bang. And I think the fielder senses that a little bit. You know, I've got to hurry. And so by Pearson playing hard, that's one thing. Then Tyreek running hard. It's a routine ground ball to shortstop. But running hard to third base with the idea that, hey, if something happens, I want to take advantage of it. And when there's two outs, it's easy a lot of times to just kind of assume, oh, man, it's a routine ground ball to shortstop. We're out. We're not going to make this. But they didn't. And so I think Pearson put pressure on the defender. I think Tyreek was in a position to take advantage of a mistake. I think Coach Blair made a really good call in making the send, and it ends up being a game winner. So, you know, and then the other thing was is that, you know, Tyreek got moved to second base on a balk call that was an absolute balk. 100% it was a balk. They were using a balk move all weekend with the front knee. And finally, the guy at first base called it, and it moved Tyreek to second. They end up intentionally walking Pearson Reebok to get to first to bring Hunter Simmons to the plate, and that brought the – that brought the at bat where it all happened. So it's kind of an accumulation of things where we're trying to put pressure on people. We're in a position to maybe Tyreek steal a base to get the second that the guy uses a balk move. Now it gets called and then the play all happens together. So yeah, the guy kicked the ball. We took advantage of it, but there's a lot that goes behind the scenes to make that happen. And I'm proud of our guys for playing the game and not getting their dauber down when, you know, a routine ground ball to shortstop looks like you're out of the inning. You know, playing the game. And when the opponent makes an error, you want to be able to take advantage of it, and we did. So it was a big win.
Thank you for taking us inside the game. We'll call that Twib Notes, you know, in honor of our old friend Mel Allen.
A little longer than wanted.
No. I love that stuff. I mean, that's one of the reasons we love having you on. But when you kind of take us in there, because we, like you say, see kind of a routine ball that the guy booted, and you saw all the other stuff happen. And then you and Sneds were also out there probably helping that umpire with that balk a little bit. You know, I bet y'all might have mentioned that thing a time or two.
We had let him know. Keep an eye on it.
That was a timely balk. I like that. You gotta take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah.
The last thing I had for you, can you lay out what your plan is tomorrow for us? Are you keeping that close to the vest? What's the situation there?
We're gonna start Ethan Calder and Oklahoma State's gonna start Youngerman. Their right-hander who started on Sunday against us. He pitched very sparingly this weekend. I think they only threw him an inning on Sunday in preparation to start him game one of the conference tournament. And we kind of did the exact same thing. You know, Ethan was pitched on Saturday or on Friday for us in game two against UCF. And we got him out in pretty good time as well. to where, you know, we could throw him in game one as well. And so that's the plan. We'll go with Ethan Calder game one. And then you've been right on when you say all hands on deck. We'll mm-hmm. go through what we need to go through to win the game and try and win the game. And if we do, then we'll see where we're at and who's next. And that's where we'll go on game two. So
it's all right. Well, I had hoped you would shock the nation with throwing a right-handed pitcher to start the game. Just really, really freak everybody out.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's ready for that one, right? I mean, it's been amazing, and to me, it hasn't been something that I've tried to do. It's like I'm ready to break the streak whenever the streak comes to an end. But you know, I mean, we felt like that was our best options to go with those left-handers on those given dates every game so far, and. You know, at least on tomorrow, Wednesday in game one, we'll keep the streak going. We'll see where it's at after that.
All right. I'll contact Elias and see if we can get somebody to weigh in on maybe the longest streak in college history. Certainly, there's never been anything like this in the majors. I'm trying to think even back some of those old Dodger staffs. I mean, they might have. They had a couple of lefties, but they would break it up occasionally. But, Mitch, we're excited. I'll be watching this thing every step of the way. And, of course, people can hear that right here during our usual show right around 3 o'clock tomorrow on the during the Matt Mosley show time. You'll get to hear Baylor baseball. So, man, good luck in this thing, and we'll be pulling for you.
Appreciate it, Matt. Appreciate you keeping up with us and all the Baylor fans keeping up with us. We'd love to see the green and gold in the stands strong. We hope we can make a run here for you and see if we can bring home a trophy here at the end of the week. All right, so we appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
You bet. There he goes, Mitch Thompson. That has been the Matt Mosley Show. We'll be looking for balks in this game one of the Big 12 tournament. But we appreciate everybody that's been a part of this one. We will see you tomorrow. At 4 o'clock. Good night, everybody.